Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to your local Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all of the episodes. We are currently in season 19, episodes 17 and 18, Come Fly With Me and Ready to Run. And if this is your first time listening, please go back, start the show from the beginning, and start at our pilot, watch Grey's with us, or watch it ahead of time because we are a spoilers podcast. And if you don't want to be spoiled on a show that's been out for nearly 15 years, then watch it first. It's all on Netflix, including this season. We are not sponsored by Netflix. However, we should be. We are working our way towards the end. We're almost there, Bree.
I know. We have one more podcast episode, two more episodes of Grey's Anatomy, and then we're all caught up, which is incredible. If you have been following along with us over the years, it has taken us a very long time to get here. And it feels like so serendipitous that like you're about to have a baby and like transition to this new thing as we end and get caught up with Grey's Anatomy. It's a really beautiful thing, you know?
And you're about to have a job. Like you're going to be out of school. So I feel like those are both very large life things.
Yeah. But Abby, you did say we're not sponsored by Netflix. We don't have any sponsors except for our patrons. Our patrons are our sponsors. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. And there you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And for each of those levels, you get different things. You get bonus episodes. You get the episode a day early without ads. And then you get 10 minutes. If you're an attending, you get 5 to 10 minutes of extra content after we call time of death. We call it post-op. And you're going to want to be a $10 patron this week because what we're talking about is our Spotify Wrapped. So stick around for that.
Yeah, and there's a reason it's behind the paywall, I guess mostly for Bree.
Okay,
So if you want to hear about our Spotify Wrapped and you are a patron, make sure you're listening on the Patreon app. There is a way. You just have to Google it. I'm pretty sure I pinned a post about it on our Patreon page. But you can put that RSS feed into your podcast app so that it shows up on your regular feed. So just stay tuned after that. We're going to talk about some of our podcast stats, too, because y'all have been listening. And that's really exciting. So stick around for that. And we'll talk about it then.
Yeah. Finally, if you want to rate and review us anywhere you listen, 5 scalpels, please. We really appreciate it. It lets other people know you enjoyed the episode. We have some people who have like answered a Q&A on Spotify. Like, that's really nice.
Yeah.
This one person put on there, like, for the love of God, can you please stop talking about your lives at beginning. I will say we do put in the show notes when we start Grey's content. So if you don't care about our lives, I get it. I really do. That's totally fine. You just want to hear us talk about Grey's Anatomy. Look in the show notes. I always put where we start talking about the episode. So you can just skip on over our lives.
Yeah, if you want. I feel like you're missing out on perhaps the most interesting part because season 19 is a little bit of a drag, but I understand.
I kind of want to say, like, it's funny because I feel like we have been doing this for a very long time, and it's very clear that, like, part of the our podcast is talking about ourselves. And so I feel like it has to be like new listeners or someone who clicks on it for yes. like, and it's like, why the fuck are you talking about yourself? It's like, well, also it's our podcast. And if we want to talk about ourselves, then why not? And I just find it really funny when that's like people's feedback. It's like, well, then don't listen to
it. Don't listen. I would say half the podcasts I listen to are like my favorite parts are when they talk about themselves because I've been listening for so long. I can see how like if you first play one, you're like, what? I don't know who these people are.
Sure.
But that's why we tell you to start at the pilot. Go back in time 6 years to a younger,
become our friends,
more carefree version of us and watch as we slowly slip into a deeper level of adulthood.
Insanity.
I just want to say it's the holiday season and I bought my favorite creamer brand in their peppermint mocha because I love a peppermint coffee situation. And so every morning it feels very holiday.
I need to ask you, which brand is it?
It's Nut Pods. I Nut Pods.
Fucking got one of those. I got that exact one and it didn't hit the way I wanted it to. I think because it doesn't have any sugar.
Not very sweet.
Yeah, I wanted like a Starbucks peppermint mocha feeling. And
you gotta do a lot though. The trick is because it doesn't have a lot of sugar, it's not like with Coffee Mate where you like should do one tablespoon or else you're consuming like a batch of cookies. I do quite a bit and put it in my frother. I don't know if you've, and so then it gets really frothy and then I mix my coffee with it. Like I'm talking probably like an eighth of a cup.
Okay. I'll try again.
Very decent amount. Yeah.
Because I felt really excited about it. You know, I bought the
Nut Pod.
Where
did you get it?
I got it from World Market.
Oh, smart. I always order it from Amazon because I can't find it in stores anywhere. But that is smart. World Market has everything.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll just try this little thing. This seems fun. And then I poured it in my coffee, but just like a blip of it the other day. And I was like, this is not what I wanted it to be. Because I always drink my coffee black.
Yes.
So adding something to it is like, I need it to be a specific thing and it was not what I wanted it to be. And so I will try again. It almost sounds like you made like a latte with the frothing of it.
That is exactly what I do with it. And yes, I would love, there's so much. I want you to come over and I want you to let me make you coffee with my frother. Because it's like a heated frother. And I would also like to use my Dyson Airwrap on your hair.
That's great.
You have such great short hair. And I feel like I really have a desire to do that. So if you ever want to come over and let me do both those things.
No, I would
love
to.
Think of it like a morning blowout. I'll make you coffee and do your hair and then you can go about your day.
We need to find a time to do this though. So we have like a calendar, like a wipe off calendar in our kitchen. And I always put our things for the month on it, like how most people use a fucking calendar. And so was going over the calendar with John the other day and I was like pointing out like, and this day I have this and this day I have this. And I literally do not have a free day until I think like 2 weeks from now. And I'm talking evening, like every evening I have something going. Or when I was doing that, it was like 14 days of stuff in a row. And I get it. It's the holidays. Everyone in my family's birthday seems to be in December. So there's like 1,000 birthdays I have to celebrate, which is great. We love a birthday. But I'm also coming to the end of my semester. Like Abby and I are recording this morning because I'm like, I have a presentation I have to do tomorrow. My last ever graduate presentation. I have not started it. So I have to figure that out. I just feel so like I would love to come over and get my hair blown out. But then there's a time crunch, too, because you're having a baby. So like I don't.
Deadline.
We have to figure this out because I want my pregnant friend to do my hair and make coffee for me.
Pick a day when you have to like you have something where you want to look cute, you know, like maybe you have dinner or something. And like, I mean, I could also come to you like and. That would be real glam squad vibes. But like, and that way, cause it's like, it's in the morning. So it's not really like a thing. It's just like, you'd be doing your hair anyways, you know?
Okay. Well, how about on the 19th, I have to go to like a dinner with John's like coworkers. Like
perfect.
Yeah, we're going like to
we
a fancy
dinner.
We can take
our photo too. We can take our photo before perfect. Your dinner. John can take it.
Yeah, this is great.
And they're going to get a New Year's card, our patrons, because that's the 19th. Oh my God, I'm going to be ginormous in the best way.
We can just do our heads. It's fine. Yeah,
I have to say, and then I do feel like we should jump into this episode as because of time today. But I just do have to say, I shared this on my personal stories, and I just have to share, don't say anything to a pregnant woman. But if you are going to say something, definitely don't say what this man at Trader Joe's said to me, which Trader Joe's is usually a very like safe space. I feel like I'm with my people there. I got stopped in the aisle. Like he kind of just like, he didn't touch me, but he like sort of like, you know, when someone like you can tell they're looking
at me.
He energetically touched me. And he said, just an average looking male white man or whatever. And he looked at me and he said, "It is a delight to see a woman so full with child." Which even saying that, yeah, makes me want to throw up. It's very Handmaid's Tale. Like, I wish I had said, someone replied to me, like, what's the thing they say in Handmaid's Tale when they're like,
I said that to you.
Yeah, that was you. Yeah.
May the Lord open.
Yes, I wish I'd replied with that. It was so gross. My eyes opened wide and I think my jaw fell to the floor. And I sort of like was like, thank you. And then I ran away.
Isn't that the worst, that we like our response is to thank someone for saying that, because it's so like aggressively disgusting that like there's no other safe thing but to just be like, thank you, and walk away. Like, it would not have been energetically safe for you to say like, fuck you, dude. He would have been very offended, right? Like, he was just trying to be nice to your beautiful pregnant body. Gross.
I'm full with stuff, but I don't like to think of myself being full with child. And I also like the fact that he found delight in it is where I think it is the gross part.
I think I told you to tell him, you should have told him that you were the Virgin Mary, like just so whacked out. Or also you should have said to him, I'm not pregnant.
That's what I was like. Why can't I be smart ass enough to be like, oh, I'm actually not pregnant. Thank you.
This is a tumor.
Or what's that, like that documentary? I Am Mother God, thank you. And then I Am Mother.
Oh my God. Yeah, just something like so absurd that he wouldn't have known how to respond, because hit him, like you didn't know how to respond. Oh, no. In retrospect, like the things you could have
and
said.
And I don't think he would have said it if Jake was with me, which all these weird things happen when Jake is not with me. There was a woman at my mom and I went to a holiday market this weekend. So my mom did witness this happening where a lady saw me and like was like, oh my God. And I was just like, here it comes. Like, you know, they're going to say something. And she was like, oh my God. Like whatever. What she was like, when are you due? And then she said, do you think you'll make it? And I wanted to be like, no. Like, like what? And I was, of course, I was like, oh, yeah. You know, like, I was like, what am I supposed to say? Like, no, I don't actually think I'm going to make it. Like, I think this is it for me. I
think I'm just going to lay down right here. Call it good.
My mom walked out. She's like, what do you say to that? I was like, Mom, this happens every day. Like, people are bold.
Do people feel that way when they have the baby? Because I was at a Christmas market yesterday and I didn't go up to anyone, but it was like a newborn baby and they were sitting at a table and I just squealed a little. I was like, oh, baby, because this baby was so freaking cute.
I bet they do. So I have to prepare myself for that, because I'm sure they're going to be like, oh, like, how old is she or he?
Yeah.
You know, and my mom used to get pissed because I looked like a babies look like babies, but I didn't have hair and everyone would be like, how old is he? And my mom would go, she is.
Yeah.
Whatever. She used to get really upset about that. So I don't know. I think I'll be like, shut up about my baby.
Yeah. It's not like I went up to this person. Like I just kind of squealed to John about it, but they probably over. Well, we were at a market. It was really loud, but I would never go up to someone and be like, your pregnant body is so beautiful. Like, wow. I am feeling so many things right now. I just would never do that.
The only thing I would do now is like if I saw, because I do feel like whenever I see another pregnant person, I want to be like fist bump. Like I think I would just like kind of how people in Jeeps like wave to each other. Like I do want to say like or like people on Harley Davidsons, they like when you're on the bike, you like do a little wave. But I think I'd want to be like, you're doing great. Like, and just that, like, you're doing great, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing about their body.
No. And it's how full it is with love and light and delight. Ugh. Yeah. God.
Yeah. So anyways,
I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. It made for a great story. So, you know, content.
I wonder what that guy thought the rest of the day. You know, did he go home and think, wow, I did a good thing? I really did a good thing.
I think he felt really great. I think it literally, like, he was like, wow, I saw a woman full with child. My day is made.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he lost his wife when she was pregnant or something. Like, maybe there's something. Maybe he, I don't even know.
Maybe he's a retired OB.
Exactly. Like, maybe there's something there, but I don't think there is. I think it was just the holiday spirit and the feelings overtook him, and he had to stop me in the aisle. I also did not look like a delight. I was very like askew, but whatever. And then you walk around and you're like, I don't, there's this thing about when you're really pregnant too, I think, where I'm like, I think I don't look pregnant. Like, I'm like, people can't tell, which is absurd. Cause like, I am in third trimester. Like, it's, I mean, there is a human giant baby in there. And I'm not saying that. It's just like, it's a matter of fact. And like, but I go move through the world thinking no one can see it sometimes. And so when people comment, I'm like, wait, how'd you know? It's like, oh, you're wearing a crop top and your leggings and you literally bumped into me. Like, there's like no like way of avoiding it. So,
well, I imagine, and this is like, then we'll get into the episode, is like, it is like a long time, but it's also such a quick transition for like your body to shift and change so quickly. And for so long of it, you were keeping it a secret. And so then it does like, it would make sense that the brain would be like, how do you know? Because it's such a fast time and you were keeping a secret. Like,
as I'm in a bodycon dress, I will also say to anyone that's pregnant, I was looking at old photos yesterday on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I found this like photo that I took in this dress. It's like a Skims dress. So it's like really tight. And I'd taken like a video in it to see if I like liked it from the back to if I was going to keep it or not. And I didn't. And I remember I didn't keep it because I was like, oh, it's like, I don't know. I just don't love how my body looks in this, whatever. And I like looked at it and I was like, she had no idea like what she like. I was like, she is beautiful. Like, she looks so good. Like, what you think pregnant is before you're pregnant. And then when you know, it's like this beautiful, I actually feel really good about it. Like, I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, my perspective has been altered in such a way that like, I'm going to fucking buy the Skims dress. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just the, and it, so that part was just really interesting and funny that I like looked at an old version of me and I was like, she's just the best. She had no idea. And so I don't know, just a fun little like realization, I guess.
Yeah. I'm happy that is
pissed. I didn't keep the dress.
Well, and that is how it is for you, because I imagine for some people it's not. And so it makes me really happy that is your experience with it.
Skims,
that's good.
Kim, if you're listening, if you'd
send
like
it over,
sponsor us. We love your underwear. So okay, let's jump into season 19. We've got stuff to do today and we got to get through this, but before that, we're going to take a little break and hear from maybe hopefully some sponsors.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, welcome back. Bree, would you like to do the first monologue and introduce the episode?
I would love to. So we're on season 19, episodes 17 and 18, Come Fly With Me and Ready to Run. And the first monologue is by Meredith Grey. As doctors, we rely heavily on data to treat our patients and minimize risk. So when there is no data, any move can be extremely scary. We have to solely practice medicine on a hunch, relying on instincts and hope. Sometimes it does not go our way. Sometimes it does. Before there was a cure for diabetes, scientists followed their instincts and gave sick children experimental extract called insulin. As terrifying as it was, that risk has now saved millions of lives. But even if your hunch is strong, before taking the leap, some part of you always worries, what if I'm about to make a huge mistake? The experimental drug, the impossible dream, the fork in the road. We face dozens of choices every day and have to weigh our options. Sometimes you fail utterly. But to move forward, you have to take the leap of faith. You never know where you'll land. Meredith Grey.
Oxygen is the human body's fuel. It powers our brains, organs, and bodily tissues. Without a proper supply, our bodies can't function. Our brains, hearts, and kidneys can only tolerate a lack of oxygen for a limited time before their cells begin to die. About 5 minutes for the brain, about 30 for the heart and kidneys. When a patient loses oxygen, doctors know the clock is ticking. When a patient codes or loses their airway, a doctor's first priority is to get oxygen flowing. We have a limited time before damage sets in, so we spring into action. But in life, time limits aren't as clear. It can be hard to gauge whether it's better to hurry up or take things slow. We don't always know how much time we have before the clock runs out on opportunity. Often, we can't even be sure if our time's passed. All we can do is seize the present. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup, we have Maxine Anderson, urinary tract infection, sepsis, fractured rib, and brain bleed.
Sam Sutton, pneumothorax, 93 fractures, hematoma.
Ray Sanchez, abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Kathy Hahn, pregnancy.
Rounds?
Go for it. You can read that one.
All right. Sam Sutton comes into the hospital after a wingsuiting incident where he broke 75 bones. Link is cautious to operate on him because of what happened with Jermaine, but Owen pushes him to do a 19-hour surgery and operate on all four limbs at once. Luckily, the surgery goes well, but Link tells Owen never to do that in front of a patient ever again. Before Sam went under surgery, he flirted with Joe and verified that she was single so he would have something to live for. Throughout his recovery, he continues to page Joe and flirt with her even though Yasuda thinks he is being too forward. When Link comes in the room at the end of the day to ask Joe what's for dinner, she refers to him as just her roommate.
Maxine comes back to the hospital feeling dizzy and unwell. She ends up having a UTI, which leads to sepsis. Benson and Schmidt are working with her, and when Benson leaves her side for a moment, she begins to wander the halls. When Jules finally gets paged about her roommate being in the hospital, she yells at Benson for not doing his job and not telling her that she was here.
Spot. Teddy.
I don't know why I wrote that.
Teddy brings the other attendings into a meeting to discuss changes that need to be made in order to keep their interns mentally well. Some are silly, like oat milk in the cafeteria and non-allergenic pillows in the on-call room, but some are more serious. It turns out that their salary is not enough to live in Seattle. Everyone is surprised that this is the case, and when Yasuda comes in to quit before they can fire her, they let her know that she will be the first recipient of a new grant that is being formed to help keep interns working and making enough money. After this meeting, Richard goes back to Joe's and asks Helm what it would take for her to come back. After some negotiation, Helm decides to come back and is given position of co-chief resident with Schmidt and 8 weeks paid vacation. Yasuda, inspired by Sam's flirting, goes straight to Joe's and invites Helm to her to be her date to Simone's wedding.
Lucas continues to forget things and mess up on patients, and Nick loses his patience with him and tells him to get his meds under control for his ADHD. Lucas has never been officially diagnosed, but after reading about it, he realizes that perhaps he is suffering from this. Nick apologizes for the way he yelled at him and tells him that he too has ADHD and that getting on meds helped him become the successful surgeon he is today. After a particularly hard loss on surgery, Lucas goes up to Simone in the dining room, who's working on wedding projects, and tells her to not get married. He says that Trey only sees a part of her, but he sees everything that she is, and he loves every part.
Nick and Winston are both nominated for a Catherine Fox Award and are invited to go to the award ceremony, which is being held in Boston. Winston says that it will be awkward to see Maggie, but he's going because it's not often that a Black man is nominated. Richard is upset that Nick isn't going to go, and after Lucas tells Nick that it would mean a lot to him to see a win, Nick decides he will put aside the awkwardness and go to the ceremony. First notes.
First notes. What's yours?
Oh, Nick is back.
I said, is Nick being stood up by Mare? Is that what he talks when he's with Amelia and he's like, I'm being stood up, and he's holding his phone? Is that what he's talking about?
I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on with Nick and Meredith.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. Let's maybe talk about the, I think that's in the beginning of the second episode, the Catherine Fox Award sure. of it all, but let's talk about that. It is very interesting that like both of these men are in similar situations with these sisters.
With the sisters.
Yeah. And at first I was like, wait, Maggie's not in Boston, but she is nominated with Winston
yes.
for the same. So that's why she will be there. I feel that it's really poor writing to have such like a confusing, murky spot that they're both in.
Yeah, and to know, spoiler alert, how it like turns out when they go, and like, can I say it?
Yeah.
Like that Nick and Meredith end up making up, right? Don't they make up?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if Nick is going to be in season 20 or not, or if he stays in Boston.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just really annoying to me that yeah. – this is where we're at. This is the drama that we're at. Like,
right.
It's kind of annoying that we're having drama with people who aren't on the show anymore.
On the show. Yes. It's not even that they're not here. It's not they're not on the show. It's very different than like the drama when, you know, Derek was going to DC.
Right.
And there was like specific drama and he was still on the show. So we like saw him. I feel like that wasn't murky at all. And this just feels super like it doesn't feel fleshed out.
Yes.
I'm also dreading. Actually, if I like put everything aside, I remember the finale like with Mare like actually being like, oh, this is cool. But other than the fact that she's not supposed to be on the show and she's there. But I'm really dreading that airplane ride portion of it.
The airplane ride portion of it.
They're on a private jet. And then remember there's like turbulence. Yeah. It's so stupid. Like we have that coming up. So.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about the award. Can I transition to something else?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it is so bold to call out to someone, get your meds in order, when you don't know if they're on meds. That is the most offensive thing I have ever heard. That would be like screaming at someone who has like doesn't know they have generalized anxiety disorder, like get your anti-anxiety meds in order, or like depression or something. You know what I mean? Like, what? You can't just scream at people to get their meds fixed.
Yeah, it's one thing. It still would have been offensive if he would have said something like, get your ADHD under control, which is such a specific thing to say to someone. But yeah. To say about his meds is like, whoa. And then his apology is also not – I mean, he like apologizes, but he's still like, but I'm right. You have this. You know, like it's yeah. not an official diagnosis.
No.
I feel so bad for Lucas, like who – is going through a lot of things and then it's just told to get your meds under control.
Also, yeah, you make a really good point about it's not an official diagnosis. Like with these types, with like ADHD, with specific things, there are certain assessments you have to have done in order to be properly diagnosed. And people are trained in them and they're like validated. You can't just look at someone and be like, you have ADHD. Like that's not right. how it works. And I don't know. I thought the whole thing was super wild. And then, like, I'm not, like, the feeling deeply thing about, like, the lows are really low or whatever. Like, I'm sure that's a symptom of ADHD. Like, that's fine, whatever. It's just weird in the context of, like, Nick mentoring, being like, so there's this thing about ADHD. Like,
yes,
what is
yes.
going on in this episode? I would be like, stop talking at me about this diagnosis. Like, I don't know.
And then him using that as the reason he's going to tell Simone not to get married.
Yes.
It would have been more like heartwarming, I think, if he was just like, hey, I heard the wedding is moved up. I can't live without myself unless I say this. But not like, hey, I found out I have ADHD. Part of that is this. So this is why I'm going to tell you this. Like that just, I feel like maybe they were trying to show that someone who's neurodivergent can still be a successful surgeon. You know what I mean? Like, which we know this, like, but it just was, it was a little bit quick.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with, like, I'm not trying to shit on, like, an ADHD diagnosis. It was just literally how Nick handled all of this. And that no one was upset by it. That it was just, like, super appropriate behavior for your attending to say that to you.
Yeah. I would say that whole part, originally I've always thought, like, Nick was a really good teacher. Like, it was, like, fun to see him teach. This was not one of those moments. But the fact that it led to Lucas saying that stuff to Simone, I didn't necessarily get, like, in my feels about that, but I did think Simone's single tear was great acting. It reminded me of kind of like an old mayor moment where, like, she doesn't have a reaction, but her eyes get wet. And like, sometimes subtlety is better than, like, a big outburst. And I do have his quote here. He just said, maybe I'm too late or maybe I lost my chance, but I wouldn't be able to live with myself while you still had time to change your mind. Trey doesn't see you, but I see you. Simone, I see you and I love every single thing I see. I do still also feel like this whole storyline has not been fleshed out enough. Like, they haven't had many scenes together. Like, to me, I'm like, are they really that close? Which I think it's that Jules made that comment where she's like, or is it just that he stuck his tongue in your mouth that he knows you better? She's like, I know you. And so I think it'll be interesting season 20, like, what, you know, because they did run away together. Like, is it going to be sort of like the Jackson April thing where they run away and then they're like, oh, shit, like, what are we doing? Or is it going to be like right away really great?
But I think, like, with the Jackson April thing, with the Mare Dare thing, even with the, like, Bert Christina thing or Owen Christina thing, there's, like, there's this burn, slow burn with it. Like, with the Jackson and April thing, they were friends for a really long time, and then they had sex, and then she was all upset that they had sex, like, before marriage. And so then there was a whole season of her, like, re-becoming a virgin and date. Like, it burned and burned and burned until Jackson stood up at that wedding, which made it so much better. This has been like four episodes. We just meet these characters. And then all of, and then you think about like Mare and Dare. It literally took
season four.
Well, yeah, it took to the end of season two for them to have sex. And then it still was like kind of like a fall apart thing of like, what's going to happen? I don't know. It just, I agree with you that like, I feel like they're trying to do what Grey's was really good at in the past, but it, like you said, it's not fleshed out enough. So it doesn't land as well because we're not as connected and committed to these characters. But it's almost like the writers are racing against, like, we have to make a show.
Yes.
Like, our leads are leaving, so we have to, like, create the magic again, but we're not connected to it.
I have to make a very old reference because Game of Thrones hasn't been on in years, but it's kind of like in early seasons of Game of Thrones, it would take an entire season for them to sail from one place to another. Like that would be the whole season. And in the final season, they'd be like, oh, guess I'm here now. I'm at King's Landing. It took 2 minutes. Like it just loses its believability a little bit. And I think that's what's sort of happening. It's just a little rush. And I think you're right. They feel like they're racing against time. Who knows how many seasons they'll have left. And they're trying to get us hooked on these people. And like the bones are there. They're just rushing through it, I feel like.
Yeah. And like even beyond believability, like I think the Game of Thrones thing that last season would have made sense if they didn't have five seasons where like the way they set up the episodes was completely different. Like similar to Grey's Anatomy. It's like if this had always been a show where like there are a bunch of new characters and things are moving really quickly. Well, it kind of is, but you know what I mean? Then it would feel different, but it's like, oh, we're trying to create that spark again with a very limited amount of time. And I just don't believe
it. They moved up the wedding because her grandma's not doing well again. Yeah. So the wedding is legitimately like this weekend, whatever time frame we're in.
And she's wearing her mother's old dress.
Yes. And Jules is her new maid of honor.
Yes.
I like Jules.
Yeah, I like Jules too. Should we talk about Jules and Maxine?
I also love Maxine. I feel like this is a storyline that doesn't need that much wind-up time. You know, like, we've met her in previous episodes. The actress herself that plays Maxine is, like, you kind of, like her right away. It's that typical thing where, like, Jules is mad at Benson, but, like, really, what was he supposed to do? I feel sad for her, that part when Maxine is, like, Jules acts like she doesn't need this, but like she needs to be loved. She needs to do whatever. And that's what I do for her. So it's very clear that what Jules is going to lose when Maxine goes is like a lot. It's bigger than just like a roommate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a motherly figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love her friends. Although if anyone jumped out at me in my hospital room, I would be so scared. Don't do that to an old woman.
No. And she, Maxine ends up falling in the bathroom.
Yeah, which is a bad thing when you're old. Don't fall.
Yeah. You can sense that things are not going to go well with this storyline.
Yeah, exactly. And
it kind of creates this, like, there's already this tension between Benson and Jules about, like, Benson wants to kind of go on a date, but Jules doesn't want to. And so then we see Benson like flirting with a nurse.
Yes.
And then Jules, like, it's that kind of like in the elevator scene where she's like kind of annoyed by it. And so there's like this underlying like tension between them that like I think leads with Benson like working with Maxine, it makes Jules even more pissed off at Benson. So there's like a lot brewing in that whole thing.
Yep. Benson to me sounds like a last name.
I know, Quan. So I'm always I always call him Quan.
I'm always like, am I calling him by his first or just his last name? So there's a lot of like, I guess a lot of like romance-y weirdness. Cause then we have Sam. I forgot about this guy.
Oh God.
Who I feel like they're trying to give like Denny Duquette vibes, you know, like someone who's just like instantly charming and whatever. And honestly, like he's a quirky character. Like I don't mind him. What I do mind is Owen fucking like talking for him, being like, he is a soldier. Like he needs to feel alive. And like, if he can't wingsuit jump or whatever the fuck he's doing, like he will not live. I'm like, Owen, he's not even saying that. You're putting words in his mouth. Also, anytime Owen goes off on a thing, I know he's gonna bring up war. Like it just, it always gets brought up. And then I thought it was so, I was so glad when Link like called him out after he did the surgery, you know, like you will never do that again. But then I was so confused when he was like, but thank you for your service. It just felt like out of left field.
It was that whole scene where they're like trying to talk about, Owen comes and he's like, I need a consult to Link. And Link's like, cool, I have like 20 minutes before another thing. He's like, cancel it. And so he brings Link in for a consult and Link ends up giving the consult like, this is what I do, and Owen is like, well, that's actually not what I would do, this is what I would do. Like, why did you call Link for a consult then if you already had a plan and you're gonna completely disagree with Link in front of the patient? Like, that felt insane to me. And then like shoved Link into a corner and was like, do it, do a 19-hour surgery.
And when he yells at Simone, who I think is bringing up, like, Simone and Link went through that surgery together with Jermaine. And I do think Link is probably being, like, a little overly cautious, but that, I don't think that's, like, a bad problem, I guess. I appreciated that when Owen left, Link was like, you have every right to be nervous, but, like, right now we have no choice. This is what we're doing. So, like, you need to put that aside. But, yeah, Owen is, this was just, like, intense trauma, Owen.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't make any sense. I need a consult, but actually I don't. I just need you to be in the room while I tell you what you're going to do. Classic Owen.
I am Bailey when she's like, who thought putting a squirrel suit on and jumping off of a mountain was a good idea? Like, what, do we not value our bodies? I don't know.
No, we don't.
People, be careful. Adrenaline, like people who do the like free climbing too, like not just like – bouldering at a bouldering gym, like that one guy who like literally climbs mountains without being hooked up to anything. I could throw up thinking about that.
Yeah. Or bring it. Let's bring it back. Free diving. Fuck that. That documentary. Oh, God.
Wow. That's really, I missed that. I missed the first time I watched that. I'll never have that experience again.
Yeah.
That was so good.
The other thing about Sam Sutton is the Joe of it all, right? Like,
yes.
And it's clear that, like, Link is annoyed with Joe about, like, how she's interacting with this patient and, like, is playing it off like it's unprofessional, which it is. But it's because he's in love with Joe, right? Like,
yes.
He wants to be with her, which we don't have many more episodes until this, we figure this out between the two of them.
Exactly. It feels very also like how Alex felt about the Denny thing, you know,
sure.
Like Izzy was being unprofessional. Like she shouldn't have done that, but it was more why Alex was mad at it. It wasn't just that it was Denny.
Yes.
So it's very similar in that sense. The Link and Joe relationship I'm less annoyed by than like the other one because it has kind of taken a while. I would say like since the end of season or sometime in season 18, you know, is when Joe, they had sex for the first time. They were like friends with benefits. And they've been friends for so many years. So that one, like I hope I still feel the same way when I watch it again about when that gets like taken care of. I actually liked that scene. I hope I still feel that way. About it. But I did think it was kind of fun how Yasuda is so annoyed by Sam. She's like, you are not doing this the right way. Women don't like to be like when things are that forward, especially from a man, whatever. But then she sees that it's like kind of working and then she goes and is forward with Helm.
Yes.
I love that little scene of them together, even though Helm is like, well, I'm about to be your boss, but like, luckily this is before then. I think it's a great fit and I'm excited for that moment.
Yes. And I like that Helm kind of backing up for a second, that Helm is coming back to the hospital. And so in order to say yes to Yasuda is like, well, I'm about to be your boss, but like, actually this is the weekend before I start work. So yes, I'll go to like,
yeah.
This predates my employment or whatever.
And I didn't know. Remember last week I was like, oh, wow, Yasuda doesn't know that Helm stood up for her. Well, Yasuda does learn that happened and she's mad at her about it. I like that she was like, I need a minute. And she was like literally or like metaphorically. And she was like, metaphorically, like I have to be mad for a second. But like that quickly goes away, you know, once things get worked out, which we can talk about that too. But I didn't know that she ends up finding out that Helm did that. And I guess, yeah. I would be kind of upset by that. Like, don't fight my battles for me, even though it ends up working out.
Well, yeah, because I think Yasuda thinks she's going to get fired because of it, because
right.
She has a second job. It's like, why did you let them know that?
Right. The meeting when all of the attendings are talking about, you know, it's like the good old days. It reminds me of, you know, the people who say like, well, I had to pay my student loans off. So like, why should these people, but their student loans were like a quarter of the price. Like, it's kind of that same vibe. I loved when Bailey shot back at Richard and was like, and he's like, well, what attending was that? And she was like, it was you. Like,
yeah.
You did that. And I think I also appreciated too, I'm like jumping into this and the end of the meeting when Yasuda comes in to quit because she doesn't want to get fired, that when Teddy tells her about the grant that she's going to be receiving, that Yasuda just like accepts it, like gets like, has like the little wet eyes and is just like, thank you. That means so much to me. And isn't like, you didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like it's sometimes I feel like in our nature to be like, no, it's fine. I'll figure it out. Like, you don't have to do that. But like, she's just like, actually, thank you. I deserve this. And like, thank you for listening. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. And it's good because Yasuda shouldn't have to be working multiple jobs. I don't understand why none of the other people are having to work multiple jobs, but.
Right.
Okay. Whatever. That's the story.
Right. You make good money at a bar. You can, right? Because it's tip money.
Yeah. Depending on the bar.
Yeah. I never worked at a bar.
Yeah, I did. Rough times.
I loved those days. I would like to work at Joe's Bar, though, just for like, maybe, do you think there is a Joe's Bar? Like, if we go to Seattle, is there like where they film it? It's probably on a set. I'd like to go to Joe's.
Yeah. Well, it's not Joe's Bar anymore. What is it called now? Like,
oh, I don't know. I miss Joe.
On the show? I don't know.
But anyways, so that part, there are going to be wedding dates, which is great. Happy for it. And also that inspires Richard to go back. I wondered if I was Levi, if I'd be like, wait, what the fuck? I want 8 weeks vacation. Like, that would be my reaction to finding out.
Well, it was funny how Levi was like, give Helm whatever she wants. And like,
yes.
Richard kind of was like, okay. And that meant like co-chief resident and great vacation. Yes. So we haven't seen Levi's response to that yet, have we?
No, we did. Yeah, because they're at the bar and she tells him and she's kind of nervous, but then he like goes under the bar and gives her a hug and he's just like, this job is way too much for one person.
Oh,
I'm so happy. So that's good too. I think we're supposed to think that he might be mad about it, but he's great. And also they're going to be back together as co-chief resident in season 20. So
yeah,
that's nice as well. So
I don't have many other notes. I have one very random note where Amelia is in the meeting, the attending meeting, and like someone gets up. I think it's like Nick gets up. He has something to rush to. And she looks at her wrist like to look at the time, but she does not have a watch on. And I thought it was funny.
What a good goof.
Yeah.
We should also just say, I don't need to talk about it, but Amelia apologizes to Winston for like taking out her things on him. So
and he walks away.
Resolved.
So, well, yeah, I don't know. He walks away.
It gets
away.
Resolved on the airplane. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They have a moment on the airplane. Okay, let's do notes and trivia. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good.
This episode's title originated from the song Come Fly With Me, originally sung by Frank Sinatra.
And it scored 3.1 million viewers.
Goof. In the episode's opening monologue, Meredith says that before there was a cure for diabetes, scientists followed their instincts and gave sick children an experimental extract called insulin. However, even today, a cure for diabetes has not been found, and there are only ways to manage it, including with insulin.
Adur. This episode's title originated from the song Ready to Run, originally sung by the Chicks.
Love them. We both were robbed of seeing them in concert this winter.
I cannot talk about that.
I know, me either. This episode scored 2.99 million viewers. Catherine Fox Award. I'm feeling like...
Not Nick. Not Owen.
It could be Teddy for like That's taking Helm's. That's what I thought. Yeah, I think for taking what Helm comes in and says and making action, I feel like she's already being a great chief.
Yeah, I agree. And she, we didn't really talk about it, but that guy who had the ruptured thing.
Oh, Ray.
She really, she really took it very hard and she was working very, like, diligently on him. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Teddy.
Yeah, that's great. Let's give it to Teddy. Rating it, I can't go above a 6. I just, maybe the finale will be, but I'm feeling still a 6.
Yeah. Well, you gave last week like a 7, I think, which was insane. You were feeling really generous last week. I would say 6. Like, this wasn't the worst episodes in the season. It kept me entertained enough.
Yep. All right. Make sure if you are a patron, you're listening for our post-op topic where we talk about Spotify Wrapped. Otherwise, thank you so much for supporting us and listening. And we will be back with our final episode of season 19 next week.
Yes, final episode of 2023, y'all. We're going to take a little break after that, just so you guys know.
I'm going to have a baby.
Abby's having a baby. So we're gonna let her deal with that for a little while. And then we'll kind of figure out what we're doing from there because we will be all caught up.
Yep.
So anyway, stick around for Spotify Wrapped. And time of death is 10:52.
Beep.